just as in a computerized chess game, we can look, you know, several steps forward and predict what response the opponent might make.
And so what form does this protection take? Is it software that people can use on their servers to operate in the background?
Sure. It's both in terms of software as well as the overall approach. And PNNL has been investing its own funds into our information and infrastructure integrity initiative, which is emphasizing two new scientific cybersecurity focus areas in two areas. One is predictive defense, that is something that supports strategic and tactical decisions that try to ensure the safety and integrity of this infrastructure, you know, looking long term. And the other is adaptive systems that look at revolutionary technologies, both in the forms of software, hardware, et cetera, that will maintain a stable, secure state despite activities from attackers from both within and outside a particular network.
And is there a predictive, path for, you know, intrusion into a network?
Well, the experts that we've assembled here at the lab that are well over 100 here, both researchers and staff, certainly are making advances in the predictive defense area, where again they can, you know, put their world class research into work to look at predictive defenses and again think a couple steps ahead of the adversary. So we are indeed making breakthroughs in those areas, and ensuring that these solutions are being pushed to the government as well as industry.
And let's talk about the electric grid, because the
Sure.
smart grid concept really turns the grid into something that acts very much like the Internet, with all the vulnerabilities the Internet has. What are you seeing in terms of how the grid can be protected even as it gets smarter?
Right. No, that's a fantastic question. One of the examples that I like to give is PNNL has developed its own what we term Electricity Infrastructure Operations Center here on site, which brings together industry-leading software, real-time grid data, and advanced computation into a fully capable control room. And that control room is allowing us to develop new tools that provide not only a better view of the current power grid, but also faster and more accurate predictions of what might be happening so operators can quickly respond. You know, and the example that I like to give is as we're all familiar with the 1996 West Coast and 2003 East Coast blackouts, what we're trying to do is develop tools that will, you know, help to prevent such events in the future. But we're also looking at developing technologies that give power operators a better understanding of the true operating limits of the system in real time so they can safely manage our existing electricity needs using our existing infrastructure. And as we all know, building new infrastructure for the, you know, pressing electricity needs of this country, obviously the cost is quite a bit and time. But what we're trying to do is ensure that the technologies that we're developing here and increases in efficiency can optimize the use of existing power infrastructure and help minimize the number of expensive transmission lines or substations needed to meet the ever-growing demand for power here in this country.
We're talking to Ryan Eddy. He's Deputy Director of the Northwest Regional Technology Center of the National Center Security Directorate at Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. So do you combine cybersecurity with the electric grid? Because there were reports not too very long ago that the electrical grid could possibly face attack in the future, that there may even be, as we speak, a code embedded in some of our resources that could really cause disruption in the future.
Well, you know, what we like to do here at the lab is really assemble multidisciplinary teams across the laboratory, whether that's looking at energy, at science, fundamental science, or, you know, national security. And so we certainly do have members of our cybersecurity teams working and collaborating with our energy sector and those folks that are working to develop those tools so that they can cross collaborate and ensure that those particular areas that you just addressed are being worked to ensure that does not occur. So yes, we are, you know, we do focus on cross collaboration across the laboratory and encourage it.
And Mr. Eddy, you also mentioned that you do some work in the area of airport security. Tell us about some of the exciting projects there.
Well, airport security is certainly one area where we're looking at a variety of technologies that could be implemented, both in terms of screening, et cetera. But what I'd also like to touch upon is the area of visual analytics, which also can be used in an airport setting or frankly, a whole multitude of different areas. And that is, you know, whether it's folks at the airport, our first responders, intelligence folks, you know, we are grappling with a multitude of data that is thrown at them day in and day out from numerous sources, whether that's documents, images, numbers, video, and audio. And how do you best sift through all of that information and glean the meaningful information? And so researchers here at the lab have been advancing the science of visual analytics by using computer-based analysis, graphics, and human-computer interaction techniques to ensure people are able to go through mountains of information to find individual pieces of a picture that helps them put that picture together. And again, whether that's in an airport setting, you know, for security at an airport, and again, whether that's flight data, et cetera, or for an intelligence analyst, or even, frankly, for a financial analyst that's trying to sift through enormous amounts of data to understand, you know, why the stock market went up or down.